To call a man transparent is to attack his soul, his very being. It can be received as the ultimate insult. Unless, that is, the man in question is actually, literally see-through. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Shanklin and his olive-skinned friend Dave.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Flats and Shanks True Crime Pod, where Tom and I talk about our criminally okay lives.
Crime.
Sinister. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin. What crimes are we talking about? Are we talking about murder? Or are we talking
murder.
About...
Did Taggart ever say there's been a murder?
We've discussed this. No, we didn't. Or are we talking about petty theft? Like putting more 1p sweets in a little paper bag?
Let me tell you about theft. You might notice where you can see from where we are. You can see my car, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you've stolen a rugby career. Then
I did. Well, I got blimmin' arrested yesterday, walking along with my hands in my pockets, concealing dangerous weapons.
All right. Carrying small arms.
I tell you what. I do often. Jokes aside, I do often look at you and wish I had arms like that. I've got to carry these big bastards around instead. Anyway, I'll tell you about theft.
Rip a man apart, though, couldn't they? Like a orangutan.
I got my car cleaned in town, and you might notice I very rarely get my car cleaned.
I have noticed, yeah.
Yeah, because I drive so much, there's no point, and I don't really... Sometimes I get the inside cleaned and not the outside, because I think it's cooler.
And it's noir.
And it's noir, so it Black. Shows it all up. Well done. Schwarzer. But the blokes who clean it in town, in Bath, have doubled their rates. First of all, it used to be a tenner, then it was 12 quid if it was a big car. Then 15, okay, 15 I can take. It's now 29 quid to get your car in and outed.
It's inflation, mate. It's inflation. You don't live in the real world. You don't know about stuff like that.
I said to him this morning, mate, are you taking the mickey? And he was like, I said, there's no one here. And he's like, half as many cars, same money.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, and he's in Bath where everyone's got a bit of dough And I was like,
What?
I'd committed by then. I'd parked it in there. I'd got out. I'd got my gym kit out. It's right next door to the gym.
You've been to the gym, have you?
What? What?
Naughty.
I wasn't going to mention it. Well, it is a crime, actually, to go to the gym on that theme and not tell anyone. So you look like you've been to the gym today. You got your sports gears on.
Sports cash. Yeah, I just did a little bit of weights. I'm playing touch tonight, so it's a double session for me today.
Double
so
maths, is it?
I will be, and I'll have the golden 24-hour period tomorrow.
Oh, mate.
Eat what you want.
Mate.
I know.
That's the best golden 72 hours.
Oh, mate, I've killed the barbecue this weekend.
Have you?
Oh, mate, yeah. Everything on it.
I had someone tweeting me saying, oh, can't believe you let Shanks get away with buying a gas barbecue. I was like, mate, gas barbecues are brilliant. I use it all the time.
Yeah. I've also got like a wood stove, and I get my pizza oven moved so I can use it more. I couldn't use my pizza oven where it was because all the smoke was blown into the neighbour's house. So it's been moved to the other side of the garden today. So come around if you want pizza. I live in
the posh part of Cardiff.
Scion Lane in Bath. Anyway.
The posh part. I don't live on Scion Lane anyway. There isn't a road called Scion Lane.
Don't even know. It's made up.
So what did you have on the barbecue? Tell me that, pray tell.
Sweet chilli and black pepper ribs, pork ribs from Costco.
Yeah, but they do all right meat at those places sometimes. Yeah.
I bought some fillet steak from Costco again, and I used a searing pad and then slowly cooked it so it was pulled apart.
Oh, yeah.
Used chopsticks to eat it. It was that soft.
Did you? I just used grandma's knitting needles. You know, I saw the person who told me that these places do good meat sometimes, not always, sometimes. Remember Richard Hill, the England scrum half?
Yeah.
Used to do 200 passes a day. His son, Josh, who was, I believe, in the Bath Academy at one point, now isn't. He's a paediatrician at...
A what?
Paediatrician. He's a doctor. Yeah. Very, very bright. He's also a bodybuilder, a powerlifter. He is absolutely enormous, right? Enormous. And he looks like an absolute meathead, but he's actually a really gentle, really bright guy. He kind of got it. He's got it nailed. And in a pair of Speedos...
Like the BFG.
He's like Max Lahiff, if Max Lahiff swallowed Max Lahiff. He is an absolute unit.
He's a bit like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast when he grows to love Belle.
Yeah, better. Yeah. But I saw him in there once, and he was just bulk buying chicken breasts but he only eats good meat. That's how I know. But also, he was wearing a Nike t-shirt that said, always going deep. And I was like, oh, that's naughty. So I got one, because it means squats and that sort of stuff, but it could be sexual innuendo. And I bought it, and I've never worn it because I feel like a bit of a silly billy. They do good meat.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So you must have fired up the barbie over the weekend.
Yeah, I did.
Don't lie now. If you haven't, just say no.
No, I didn't. I had a nightmare. Nightmare, boy.
Been busy, have you?
No. I wanted. I didn't know. I didn't fight the barbecue, but I did some chicken wangs. But I did them indoors just because it was just easier, and I was in a rush with the kids, and they're quite smoky. And it turns out the house in which we live has got a commercial grade alarm system, right? So without boring you, the smoke alarm went off, and that set off the main house alarm, and holy moly, it was like someone had broken into an embassy and couldn't stop it. In the end, I'm ringing ADT because that's the number on the thing, and it's like, your contract was cancelled by the lady that sold the house. You don't have a contract with us. We can get someone to you next Tuesday, and it's 265 quid plus VAT.
Oh.
I was like, right, this is killing me. Like,
crime.
You couldn't be in the house. It's that loud. It's brutal. So the kids took their chicken wangs across the garden because it was so loud. Neighbours are coming round. Dogs are freaking out. It's horrendous. And this goes on for an hour and a half, right? In the end, I was like, Danny Hipkiss, who I've told you did like a lot of the work at our house, he is like a little bit special, like a bit Rain Man. And I texted him and said, Danny, do you remember the code to my alarm from when you were at my house?
Don't even know the code.
Don't know the code, mate. I've never used it. And I was like,
don't say it's 0000.
No, so I was like, I know it's not that. So I was like, you need to, do you remember the code? The lady told you it last August. And he was like, give me a minute. He takes himself into a dark room and he literally texts me, give me the name of your neighbour to the left as you look out the front gate. I was like, her name's Paddy. He's like, bang, 1953. Bang, 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 off. He literally remembered it like that.
That's Darren Brown sort of stuff going
on
there.
Yeah, amazing. Like, amazing. So he solved it. But yeah, anyway, I did some chicken wangs. And nice. The kids love chicken wangs so much that they're getting chicken wangs again tonight.
Really? What sauce do you have on?
Well, do you know what I did, which sounds like a real cheat, but the guys at, you know, I get most of my meat from the same place. I get it from Field and Flour, and they do these chicken wangs in a bag. I took them out of the bag and fried them up and stuff, which made all the smoke. And they were like, yeah, it seems like a cheat, but just do it, just try it once. So I tried it just in the bag, and they're all organic and all that stuff.
Of course they are.
But it was beautiful.
Had happy lives, didn't they?
Yeah.
Before they were slaughtered.
So there you go. So I didn't fight the barbecue, no, but
Do you eat any fruit over the weekend?
Yeah, I do eat. I had a cream tea at the art fair.
Did you know coffee's a fruit?
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's chocolate, isn't it?
Coffee is actually a fruit. So when you're having a coffee in the morning, just think of it as one of your five a day, but burnt.
Yeah, charred.
A cup of burnt fruit.
Yeah. I did have an apple over the weekend, yeah. Yeah.
An apple a day.
Keeps the
doctor away.
Cardiac arrest away.
Keeps the paediatrician away.
Anyway, I don't know how we got onto that, but...
Yeah, so...
No did barbecue as much as I wanted, boy.
Thursday, right? I played in Enterprise Wales / South of England.
Enterprising Wales. Entrepreneurial Wales.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Wales / South of England. Might even be worldwide. Golf day. Played at Cotterill Park. We put a team in because Enterprise do a lot with us and the hospitality side, so we'll put a team in, sponsor the hole. And in my team, I had former All Black Xavier Rush.
Oh, high energy.
Yeah, high energy.
Good at golf or just powerful?
No, good at golf. He's okay. No, not a bad little touch for a big man.
Oh, I hate that.
Still looking massive and doesn't do like a drop of weights.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't do weights?
Nope.
He's a unit.
I know. Played with The Wolf, James Rainbird, Pink Pig Loans.
The Loans, yeah.
And Chris Sadler, who... Big fan of the podcast.
Jockey.
He works for
yeah.
He works for Enterprise Cars. So, cracking day. And we won. Believe it or not, I won an Amazon Echo Dot.
Hang on, you bandit. What did you put your handicaps in as?
12, I was.
Remember when Chez used to lie at all the golf tournaments, win all the prizes, because he's a bandit. He used to lie about his handicap.
No, I played off 12. But it was Texas Scramble off the tee. Means nothing to you, mate, because you don't know about golf or follow golf.
I've no idea
but
what that means.
We scored 106 points, best two scores. So fantastic day. And I tell you what, the Ron Skinner boys, they're big fans of this pod. They've got a car dealership. They sell cars up in the valleys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They come out for a few beers after. They love the fact that Sadler, because Sadler's their mate, Chris Sadler's their mate, and he sells them a lot of cars and buys a lot of cars off them. They love the fact he had Weetabix for breakfast. Remember I took a remember I took a little video of Sadler having Weetabix?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Before the Blues played Poe.
Yeah.
You actually had Weetabix as well.
Yeah, I like Weetabix.
At Wyndham in the morning, in the hotel, all this food on offer, you had two Weetabix. Grow up.
You know why? No, grow you know up. Why? That's why. That's how I'm 125 kgs and no longer 140 kgs.
Wheat bloats you. I've told you that. You're swelling right now.
Yeah, but yesterday I had a packet of bacon, four sausages and four eggs for breakfast. So okay. I'll try not to do that very often or I'll be dead soon. Okay.
Maybe. But then the Ron Skinner boys were good fun. Lee Farah, Sean Seward and Steve Evans were there. And loved it, they did. A few beers after.
Oh, yeah.
Bar 44.
Tucked in, is it?
Tucked in. But yeah, so I'm loving the Amazon Echo at the moment.
Is that, you won one each?
You got caught. It's Alexa. Yeah.
You won one each?
Okay. Have you, I suppose you haven't got that. You love gadgets.
Yeah, but I've regressed. So I used to have all the really complicated home cinema, home network stuff at my last house. And it's like, do you know,
You've gone for an Iowa hi-fi, have you?
Yeah. I've just got Sonos speakers and tellies and Sky Q. It's all you need, mate.
Did you watch the golf last night?
Of course I didn't.
Oh, so good.
Tiger Woods is on it, isn't he?
Tiger Woods is back, definitely.
I actually love that. I actually really love that. And I don't know why I love that. I just do. I like the underdog thing, but I also like dominant champions.
Yeah, you see, Webb Simpson was leading by something like seven shots going into the final round. Mm. Maybe 7-6. I can't remember. It was a lot of shots. But I had a bet on Tiger. I also had a bet on Lee because the odds were so high.
Mm.
To win it, but no, it was good. Webb Simpson won. Looked amazing.
So Tiger Woods didn't win it.
No, but he is back and he's playing well.
It's funny because I watched this program about.
Why
it
is it
ago.
Funny to start with?
Because the old underdog thing is funny because we all like. Why? If we're neutral, hang on, I'll tell you, it's hilarious. Wait for it. We all like underdogs winning when our team or our guy isn't playing, right? So if you're neutral, you want the underdog to win something like that often. But actually, what's most popular is. Generally in sport is dominant champions, repeatedly dominant champions. So, and it goes back to sort of the gladiatorial days where the biggest crowds by a mile were drawn by the rock stars, you know, evidently. Yeah. So that more people will go and watch Neymar, Ronaldo, Messi than will watch, you know, the underdogs that might win effectively. So, you know, if Cardiff City play against Real, people aren't going to watch Cardiff City.
Of course not.
You know, so it ends up being a nice story, but people go to watch Tiger, don't they?
They do go to watch
so
Tiger.
So I like the fact that he's
yeah.
had a frigging
funny.
Hard time and
but
he's
that's
back.
That's not funny.
But anyway, also, then he farted and lit it with a fag lighter. Did you see that?
What's he like? But I had a little bet on Cardiff Blues at halftime against...
Did you?
Lost the year.
Oh, you so did what, you did all right on that then?
I did all right on that. I'm just going to show you now that this is something I posted on Instagram today and Facebook. This is Gethin Jenkins mouthing some words, and someone's put a voice to it. So the camera.
Oh, that is brilliant.
The camera.
Oh, look at that on Insta. That is genius.
The cameras pan round to Gethin Jenkins after the match, who wasn't playing because of a bit of a dodgy calf. And he's mouthed some words along the lines of fudging something. I can't believe that. Obviously due to the way in which the Blues won it, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, in a bit. Oh, that's brilliant, that.
It's good, isn't
that
it?
That is very well done, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So then, quiet weekend for me. Boy, just, you know, becoming dad of the year, doing stuff.
God. You're going to get a number one dad mug?
Hopefully. Jesus. Looking for it. And a T-shirt.
Jesus.
That's it.
You can ask me what I did.
Well, I'm expecting you to tell.
In the gym this morning. What?
What?
Tell you, I was in the gym with, not in the gym with, who I saw in the gym. Some of the Bath boys are in there. So Charlie Yules, second row, big lad. He was in there. Roy Jennings, young fella. He's about to go on holiday, a lad's holiday to Croatia on a boat, which I've done myself, which is one of the best weeks of my life. Kane Palmer, Newport, they're all lovely fellas. And Nathan Catt, who's the best lad knocking about. And it breaks me seeing, Nathan Catt's hurt himself again. It breaks me seeing him injured. And you get injured playing rugby, don't you? But It's funny because Benno Abano is playing really, really well for Bath and has a great season and unlucky not to be on the England tour probably, or very close to it at least. But I still maintain that if Nathan Catt was fit, he would have played for England a lot of times by now if he'd stayed fit, because he is properly special.
Were you holding court in the gym?
No, not at all.
Really?
No.
Were you out, were you out from him or not?
No.
No?
No, I was doing light weights today. I wasn't doing heavy weights.
Okay,
so
yeah.
only squatting 200 for reps.
What else do you do at the weekend?
As a joke. I went on... Well, it's funny you should ask, Tommy.
It's not funny at all.
It's funny...
When you say that, it is not funny at all.
It's funny
it's
you should ask.
It's a natural response that comes out.
No, it's like when someone says, have a look at this, you'll love this, and they're flicking something on their phone, and it's like, no.
You either say it's interesting, or it's funny that. Which one is it?
It's neither.
Okay.
Well, do you want to go back? Do you want to go back to what I was doing before the weekend or not? You did your golf day, so
no. Yeah, I'm ready.
Thursday, I did the hosted the Northampton Saints end of season dinner, and they were, I think it was people were like, "Oh, it'll be awkward because it wasn't a great season." It's not awkward at all. Like, I've finished worse than that. You know, we had a really good time.
Rip into them.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Stan.
And it's only a shame that Dorian West wasn't there, because I was going to rip into Dorian, because I know Dorian well. And I must say, I really like him. We played together a bit and played against each other for years, and so he was going to get it, but he didn't go to the dinner for understandable reasons. But my first interview was with Api Rotunu-Yarowa, and big Fijian second row, and he was like, first of all, I want to thank God for giving me the strength. And I was like, oh, he gave you the strength, did he? It wasn't your diet then, it wasn't genetics, God. So, mate, have you got his number? Because I'm not in regular touch, but he is a unit. They were calling him Big Business at Saints. He's a unit. I never knew he was that big. He is properly huge. And, yeah, so Big Business won, and we had some great guys on stage, and we had a chat with Rob Horn, who's obviously retired, and it's the first time he's sort of talked semi-publicly about his thing and about his injury, and, geez, what a nice fella. Anyway, it was really, really good fun. Friday, I hosted Johnny R's testimonial dinner at... the Worcester Scrum Half at Worcester Cathedral, in the proper, in the nave of the cathedral.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really nice. I mean, what a venue. You know, it's quite, a lot of these dinners are reasonably similar to one another. It's nice when someone does something different, like when Fodes sang with Tom Evans and Kieran Brooks and Danny Cairn.
Yeah, you hated that.
I didn't hate that.
Sorry.
It's not my scene at all, but I loved watching it. I would hate to be part of it. Yeah. So this was something different. The venue was beautiful. So, and Ed Jackson... You know, the lad who dived into a pool and broke his neck. We mates from Bath, so I drove him up there and he spoke at the dinner. And I honestly, this, I know he's an amazing representative for charities, for Restart and stuff like that, and the RPA. That guy, and this is a crude thing to say, but it's true. That guy, since he hurt himself, the way he talked, how bright he is, how sounds odd, how. What he's like to look at. He is big, he's unbelievably good looking, he's super articulate, he's nice, he's funny, he is just, and he's completely candid. That guy has to use this injury to his sort of commercial gain, because that could be a career for him. He is amazing at it. And I was standing there like, I've heard Jacko speak 100 times, known him for years, and I was like, this guy is brilliant. He's one of the best
speakers out
there.
Well, to go what he's gone through and to come out the other side, it's an unbelievable journey and story.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And he tells it so well, and he's so open, and he's like, mate, can you help me do my bow tie? Because I wasn't very good at this before my head fell off. You know, and it's kind of super. So we had a good crack. But then I stayed up in a Premier Inn, M5 Junction 6.
Downgraded.
I stayed there. Yeah. But
there's no rugby on the weekend, was there? No. Counting pennies.
No, exactly it, yeah. So I stayed in Worcester, but I, because the next morning, Saturday morning, I was in Nuneaton doing... my CBT, so the first stage of my bike license with Triumph. But I did it with Dylan Hartley, that's why I went up there. And
you had a lot of, there's a lot of response on Twitter as to what boots you should wear.
Yeah, because I saw Dylan at
you went with
Dylan,
Chelsea boots
like,
in the end.
He's like, what are you wearing? Because I've got a leather jacket, should I wear that? I was like, Dylan, do not wear a leather jacket, mate. You look tragic. We both got there and they had leather jackets for us to put on, and we both, well, these are actually really cool. They are now, they let us keep them, which is really nice of them. So Nuneaton's a long way from where I live. I could have done it in Bath.
Even Triumph were tweeting it as well.
Yeah. Triumph. Well
done.
They're real good lads. So we're going to do our... They're basically like, right, flats, Dylan, what do you want to get out of this? And I was like, I want my bike licence. I will probably never I will never buy a fast bike, a sports bike. I would never drive through a city on a bike willingly. But I would like, on nice sunny days, to cruise to the pub, to cruise around. I'll probably do 500 miles a year on a bike.
Are you allowed to drink then and drive a motorbike, are you?
No. You have to drink at pubs. Pubs are lunch for me, mate.
Okay.
We're athletes.
Fine.
So I would like to do that. And it's like, right, two seaters. I was like, no, I'd probably never take anyone on the back. I like the idea of going probably slower on a bike than I do in my car, but cruising around and on a big throbber.
Did you say at the end? Did you say at the end as well? And if there's anything go for free, I'll have it.
They do have.
I mean, that would be a bonus, wouldn't it? That'd be lovely.
Right. So I'm a nerd about cars, bikes, stuff like that.
Massively.
You know that.
Yeah.
So I've never had a motorbike. I don't know loads about motorbikes, but I know enough to know that I think the big boss of Triumph was there as well with his kid, who's really nice. And, you know, so he brings his kid to meet Dylan, basically.
Lovely.
And his kid's really shy. And I was like, look, I know it's a bit awkward, but I said, get little kid Dexter, get him over there, get him chucking a ball around with Dylan and film it, because he's playing rugby with the England captain there, you know, and it's normal to us, but it's not to a little kid.
Yeah, of course not.
And Dylan's just like the nicest guy. So, yeah, it was really lovely. But I asked him about it and he's like, I'm not telling you about that because, you know, but I know, or I'm confident that there is a special bike that Triumph are going to build, a special edition bike, and it's the bike I've always wanted, but they stopped making it. They're going to do a new version. So I said, if you make that bike, put my name down for one, because that is the sort of thing I would buy and ride twice a year, but keep it forever.
It's not the one like Steve McQueen used in The Great Escape, is it?
No, it's mega fast, but you don't have to go, it's not a sports bike. I would not be going fast on it. It's just a big, heavy, you know,
like on a day like this, it's Monday, we're at the border for Wales and England.
I would have ridden it here.
Yeah,
I came
exactly.
On the motorway. I came behind a guy on a Harley out of Bath, and I got here later than you, because I actually went quite slow because I sat behind him because I liked his bike.
Yeah.
And I followed him all the way here, and he's having a lovely ride, riding really defensively, safely. So Dylan and I rode motorbikes for 2 hours on the road.
Cool.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted a motorbike after watching the film Wild Hogs.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, exactly it.
And then I grew up.
Yeah, grew up. But I was sitting Dylan and I were on this like industrial estate, and there's these women clearing out this storage unit, and he's like, hey, look at him, checking out the big dogs on the hogs. I was like, yeah, two blokes in like brand new shiny leather jackets on 125s with L plates. It's like not cool.
You wouldn't want to have road rage with you two.
No, especially not with Dylan. But yeah, so then I was nice.
Can't gouge someone in a helmet though, can you?
He's never been done for
Sorry.
Gouge, mate.
Sorry.
Contact.
Sorry.
So home Saturday evening, which really nice. I went out for dinner on Saturday night to the Olive Tree in Bath. Not sponsored. Tommy, I'm going to say this to you now. I must have eaten there 10 times over the last 15 years or more, and I've never had a mouthful of food that wasn't amazing in all those visits. It was unbelievable. It's amazing food. And then yesterday being Sunday, went to an art fair.
Did you buy anything?
Yeah.
Knew you would. What'd you buy?
I wouldn't have bought anything, but...
Did you buy
a
big picture of a cow?
The girls... No. Bought a picture of a sailor.
Do you remember when Kieran Bracken did a bit of artwork?
Yeah.
And it was like just splashed art all over a canvas.
It was called
Obsession.
That's it.
Kieran Bracken. I'm not being funny. It looked like someone's shirt in school when you've got a fountain pen, you've just flicked it on the back.
Yeah.
And he called it Obsession by Kieran Bracken.
He gave it to Kev Sorrell, didn't he?
Yeah. Art's just an interpretation anyway, isn't it?
I remember him saying, Kev commissioned this piece. I was like, there's only one piece here, mate, and that's you.
Yeah, he's given up now.
Yeah.
Because we all had to pretend it was really good and we liked it because he was the captain.
I remember Francois Pienaar's reaction to it. And he was like, he brought it in and he's like, Kieran, what is this? And he's like, is this a joke? It's a joke. It's a good joke. He like slapped KB on the back, and he was like slapped him on the back. He's like, it's not a joke. He's like, ah, it's a good joke. And he's like, this isn't for real. But yeah, it was actually a really nice little art fair, Tommy. You know,
you're so mature these days.
And then we're super lucky because down the road from us, we've got some friends who have a gorgeous house, and they have a gorgeous swimming pool by their house. It's literally at the bottom of our road. And they're hardly ever there because they're on holiday a lot and they're in debt. But even when they are there or when they're not, they're just like, you know where the keys are, you know what the code is. As long as you feed the cat, come on in. So then take the kids down to their pool the last couple of Sundays and they're just, I think, 4 hours in the pool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. Haven't got to buy a pool now, have we?
There we are. Done.
Yeah.
So two big games at the weekend. We start Friday night.
Oh, what a game.
Blues, Gloucester, Bilbao. A couple of my mates went over. Bubs and Andrew went over.
Oh, yeah.
And Bubs has done his own test to see what he's intolerant to. Not allergic to, he's intolerant. He's intolerant to wheat, he's intolerant to lager.
Isn't everyone?
To bread.
Yeah.
He pricked himself, sent it off, didn't even go to the doctors, you know, so it's a bit of a DIY kit.
Right, so what's he going
to
do about it?
This was the first, and he's been drinking Guinness now. I've never known him to drink Guinness. Now he's having Guinness all the time and makes out he loves it. But anyway, he goes over to Bilbao and he gets on a lager.
Of course he does, in the sun.
And he started swelling, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, he started swelling.
He looks swollen the whole time. He wakes up swollen.
I know. Not due to the fact he bought a slim fit Ralph Lauren polo shirt.
Oh, no.
But the boys went. They said it was an amazing time. They said they stayed in a hotel right next to the stadium. And what a game as well. Now,
amazing game.
Half time, 20 points to 6. Blues had a missed opportunity with Scully in the corner. But, you know, Trinder scored a good try.
They were getting drilled at half time.
Atkinson, yeah, they were. They were getting drilled at half time. The odds were really high about the Blues having to come back. And I thought, you know what? Put a little bit of money on them at 8-1.
How much you put on?
Just a little bit.
How much?
Tenner.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half a tank of fuel in your Range Rover.
Yeah, exactly. But put another nought on the end of that. And they came back because they'd not done hardly anything in that first half. It was all Gloucester. Gloucester were playing with tempo. They were winning the collisions. Josh Navidi went off. Really early on, Ollie Robinson came back on.
He was brilliant, though, Ollie Robinson.
Yeah, and there was a great photo of Ollie Robinson and his family after. They're brothers.
Yeah, it's like they're twins with their dad.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But the Blues did come back. I mean, I think Gloucester can be a little bit miffed, I would say, that one of the tries was disallowed. It was an out-the-back pass. I'm not sure if it was Honeck or Hansen throws a bit of a cap flap and the linesman gives it his forward pass. But when you look at it, it was a try. And also, I'm not sure, it looked a little bit like Smith maybe in front of Evans when a grubber's put through. But look, that happens every weekend in rugby. It's highlighted a little bit more because it's in a final, but there's decisions that go for, there's decisions that go against.
You know, it's human error.
It is. Well, yeah, it is. But it's just stuff like that happens every single game. So you cannot use that as an excuse for losing a game. You have to adapt. You have to react. The amount of times it's happened to you as a team when a try has been given against you, it's karma.
You see Gloucester's
tweet? It all comes around. Yes.
They deleted it and then they said...
They did. And
they said silly tweet earlier, something like, wrist slapped.
A little bit bitter after the final match.
Yeah, but at least
emotions.
They're honest.
Yeah, but what a comeback. Gareth Anscombe had a great game all the way through. Moved to 10 for the last 15, 20 minutes. I think it's one of the best games I've seen him play. His ball in hand, his kicking, puts a crossfield kick in really late on. It's just... To nail that kick as well from the touchline. It was an assured performance from him at 15 and 10. And to nail a kick right on the touchline to win the game with about a minute left to play was just phenomenal. The pressure was on. It wasn't a kick that you'd expect to get. It's quite a low percentage kick. And he just boomed it.
But also producing a performance like that in the final quarter of the biggest game of the season... That says a lot for him in international terms. That will give him a leg up because he's produced the best performance he's got,
especially
under the most pressure.
Yeah, especially with him and Patchell both being selected for the Welsh tour. But yeah,
that'll do him some favours. That
it will do hugely because it's such a big game as well. You know, had that been a league game or an Anglo-Welsh game, you wouldn't have taken too much notice of it. Because it was a final.
Do you think Gloucester would have won if they'd had Cipriani at 10?
Possibly.
They will have next year.
Possibly. Really
big signing, that, isn't it?
Huge signing. Saw it early on Twitter.
They got Owen Williams and Billy Burns as well. They obviously just couldn't resist.
What a player
he
is.
The QB, the quarterback. What What a player they have signed. I mean,
I have.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah, just wanted to say about Fal Felice finishing his last
41.
Game.
41!
I know. No one knew his age. I don't even think that's correct. But
Big Fal, the governor.
That's
I
apparently
love
what he is. I know, I know. What a way for him to finish. He got a bit of a guard of honour at the end. The boys all clapped him through. But he's been phenomenal for the Blues for the time he's been there. He's also kept KFC in Cardiff in business for such a long time.
While never putting on any body fat. He's still 41 now. He's still a unit and he's got bulging veins in his biceps. He's a joke.
Ellis Jenkins had a good game at seven as well. Every breakdown.
You see him congratulate his sister at the end for finishing uni.
I mean, the only thing I would say is that he was captain of the day. Gethin Jenkins is captain of the team the whole season. Now, Ellis needed to go on last. He went up first to collect his medal.
Ellis did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to go on last, haven't you?
Yeah, of course you have.
At the end. So he went on first. He didn't know what to do then. He was just stood around the trophy for a while. But
good point. Really good point. That's experience, that is.
That is experience.
He also needed someone to tell him.
Yeah.
But I feel, as an Englishman, I feel gutted for Gloucester because I quite like them to have won it. Because then you see like Woodward and Trinder have been left out the England touring squad. And for me, it's like, what? Why are you going there without those two? Why are you going there without those two? So I kind of wish they'd finished their season on a high because they've been so good to watch.
But they were really good first half. You think, wow, 20 points to six. You know, this is...
How'd you lose that?
Well, when you lead by such a... When you're leading by 14 points at half time, teams are always going to come back at you. No matter what people say, it's always going to happen because you switch off a little bit. You've got a nice, comfortable lead. And that is what happened. We didn't see much of Gloucester that second half. They got a pushover try. Hansen scored a try, driving line out. But they just couldn't get it together. And all of a sudden, the Blues come out at half-time, score straight away with Thomas Williams, who picks up, what a pick-up off the floor. He's running full pelt.
Amazing.
Picks it up, goes over. Special try that was.
Yeah.
It helps that he's 4 foot, mind.
Yeah,
doesn't have to
loads
bend down
of gravity.
Far.
It's like, but we, in our team meetings at Bath, it was always like, Mirzy, great body positions. It's like, mate, his forearms are on the floor anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he's 4 foot three. But on the so well done Cardiff Blues. That's super sharp. Unlucky to Gloucester, brutal. But the Cipriani signing for Gloucester is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is it huge. It is huge.
So I guess he was waiting to see if he was on the England tour to see if he stayed.
Yeah, possibly, but it's not often. I mean, he would have had plenty of options. But what you've got is when you're waiting so long to sign a contract, there's a lot of things that can go wrong during those times. Twist your ankle. You could rupture your knee. Any serious injury is going to flag up the clubs not to sign you, isn't it? So a lot of players sign around Christmas time for the following year.
Yeah.
To hold on is a risk.
Backed himself, though.
Yeah, it is a risk, but if you're playing well and you back yourself, you're going to reap the rewards, and he's done that with Gloucester.
I wonder what happened with Williams and Burns.
I think everyone seems, on social media, quite happy that he's been selected for the tour.
Because you could say, well, Owen Williams, okay, he's actually really good 12 and fine, but you've got Mark Atkinson there, and for me there's no one playing 12 at Gloucester instead of him.
You have to play him.
So what an interesting one. And Billy Burns, is they've invested a lot in Billy Burns and he's done really well for them, and I expect he will do more. But you've got four top players. Put 12 trees in there as well, who's been playing really well recently, mainly.
He's been
at 13.
Playing at 13, yeah.
But you've got 4/5 top guys in those two positions. All of them will be well paid. They're all senior players now. That, you know, that's
12 trees had a lovely little bit of foot movement to get outside.
He did, didn't he? He looked really nice at 13, doesn't he? Yeah,
he does. I'm not sure of his outright pace at 13. He seems quick enough, but you never really know someone's pace until either there's an intercept or you're chasing someone down or you're covering back or you make a clean break.
That's what Jonathan Joseph's got, isn't it? That's why. But he also, someone like Mike Tindall, you might disagree, but I always thought his pace was underrated. I always thought he's quicker than he looked.
Yeah, definitely was. So then we had the final then of the European Champions Cup on Saturday. Totally different day. Lovely, hot, sunshine Friday. Lot of rain on Saturday. And not El Clasico, was it? It wasn't a classic.
No. It wasn't what we all hoped for, really.
I loved all those tries that were scored. /none. But it wasn't. I mean, it was an ugly win. But Leicester's fourth win. Issa Nasewa has won four European...
So it's Kieran Healy, Johnny Sexton, Devon Toney. They've won four European Cups. Four. That's outrageous. Outrageously good.
Rassin lose Lambie early on. Carter's meant to be on a bench. He's not fit. So it's two fly halves they've lost.
brutal.
It is brutal. Just when you want someone like
Machinot out as well.
Just when you want someone like, yeah, Dan Carter to come on, because Lamy just changes direction. Looks like the lateral ligament in his knee goes. And that's when you want the quality of...
So, well, Remy Tallis comes on, he's got a load of caps, and he's, you know...
He's good, but he's...
He ain't Dan Carter, is he?
No, he's not. He's third choice at the moment there, so there's a reason why.
Yeah.
But it was just a tough fought-out win by
Leinster. How about two things? Levy in the back row.
Yeah.
For Leinster, he is just one of my favourite players to watch. He seems to be...
Brilliant for Ireland. Brilliant for
reasonably big unit, well put together, but three times stronger than you expect him to be, like Stephen Ferris.
I thought Ryan in second row was possibly my man of the match.
Could you call him world class?
Not yet.
Could you? The best team in the world is the All Blacks. Could you stick him on the All Blacks team and he'd be fine? Yes, I'd argue yes.
You and I could be in the All Blacks team.
Very true, Tom.
They'd still function.
Very true, take it all back.
Probably better. But he was just, he was so physical all day.
Yeah.
Up, tackle, down, smashing people back.
He's a great player to watch.
He was a great player to watch.
Really like him. Now, how about...
So, well done, Leinster.
Well done, Leinster. Teddy Thomas.
Yeah.
Again, one of the best players to watch in Europe, but he didn't all go his way, did it?
Fairly quiet.
Made a nasty error as well, towards the end. It's not nice.
He's still a player. He is world class.
I would love a Premiership club to sign him just so you could watch him every week.
So I've seen James Haskell's gone to Northampton.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old is Haskell?
I think he's 47 now.
He's actually coming on our pod. He's coming on our live Guinness Fuller's pod next Monday. Keep an eye on Twitter updates for tickets. It's going to be released soon. It's going to be in Reading. It's going to be in the Three Guineas pub, which is bang in the middle of Reading Station. We'll let you know.
Not on the tracks.
He's coming, so can't wait to listen to his chat.
Yeah, hold fence teeth. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? A big signing for Northampton, actually. I mean, not that they need a back row, but it's not all about need. I mean, if you think what he might add...
Different back row for different needs.
Yeah, what he might add Monday to Friday as well as on match days, because he's been doing some really good stuff again recently on the field. But what he might add... you know, someone like Jamie Gibson, I mean, how much does he need? He's one of the best players in the Premiership every week. But maybe someone like Haskell could take him to the next level. Maybe he could improve him in certain areas or whatever.
He'll be on the bench or he'll start. He'll have an impact either way.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah, it's a good signing.
Yeah.
We've got some good fixtures coming up in the Prem. We've got the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Sarries Wasps, Chiefs Newcastle. I'm at Chiefs, actually, for that, Tommy.
You're back on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
I do miss it when you're not on the TV,
mate. So I can finally get Deliveroo again. And give the driver a tip. Give the rider a tip. £2.50 tip. Go on. Yeah. Although I must say, I quite like these weekends off. I tell you, I don't get many, mate.
No, you don't.
Do you know what I do not do? I did not watch either of the European games live. I was out. I recorded them. I didn't sit in and watch rugby on my days off either.
Have you watched The Alienist yet on Netflix?
No.
It's very, very good. I finished it. Get into it.
You told me about it, and is it sci-fi?
It's like Penny Dreadful. No, it's not sci-fi. It's just about murders go on in, I think it's the late 1800s.
Right, okay.
And they've got a sort of child psychologist, because a lot of the murders, well, all the murders are children. And he comes and he sort of tries to help profile the killer and find the killer.
The Alienist. Right, is it on Netters? I'm going to look this up tonight.
I'm also watching Fowder. I think it's called.
Oh, funny you say that. I've been told to watch that by someone.
Yeah. Again, it's on Netflix. It's subtitled, but I'm about two or three episodes in. Adrian Marsh from DS Smith. He's the FD, DS Smith Group. He told me to watch it. He's a big Sarries supporter.
Fowder.
He invited me down to watch Sarries play Wasps next weekend, but I can't make it because I'm going to watch E17 at dinner.
So without trying to be too... this isn't big time at all, but without trying to be too, I know something you don't know, which is a bit smug. I got recommended Fowder because it's based on Israeli intelligence agency, isn't it? Israeli Special Forces, Mossad. And I had a meeting in London last week with some guys I know regarding a new venture they're doing with a group of ex-Mossad operatives. It's a really, really cool idea, but I'm actually not allowed to... So it is, which is really annoying for everyone, including you. But I went and had a couple of drinks in London with these ex-Mossad guys, and one of the guys there
can't say his name. I've forgotten anyway. I couldn't pronounce it properly anyway. But it was Fowler. It was based on him. So he was one of the guys it was based on.
No, it looks like it's based on you. You look like one of the guys.
I look like all of them.
Yeah,
I was like, these space sort of.
Are you Israeli intelligence?
I was like, that falls down, doesn't it? The intelligence bit. But I was waiting with my friend, and I was like, when they walk in, are we even going to notice them? Are we going to notice, or are they just going to slip in without us noticing? And then these three absolute units turn up who look like me but better. And it was like, ah, that's them.
We've got quite a few questions on Twitter. We've got Phil J on Twitter, and we've also got Ricky Jones on Twitter. Gustard, Edwards and Ryan rumoured for the Quinch job. Who would be the best fit?
So Dean Ryan.
Yes. Sean Edwards and Paul Gustard.
Is that?
Edwards and Dean Ryan, probably the only, I don't think Gustard has, the only two that have actually been a DOR of a club.
Doesn't work though, because you've got two defence coaches in there. Edwards and Gustard are both defence coaches.
Who would be the best fit? I said not. Would they all three work together?
Oh, right. Well, I expect most clubs would be interested in Dean Ryan. But yeah. He's not long taken a job at the RFU.
Okay. Well,
don't know. I don't know Sean Edwards. I know Paul Gustard, and he's great. And he's a great bloke. And he's very bright. And he has great ideas. But the chat is that being an England coach is very, very hard work under Eddie Jones, but I've never heard him say a negative word about it. You'd imagine he's in a dream job and he ain't leaving before the World
Cup. Sean Edwards does wonders as well. What he's done with Wales, what he's done with the Blues, their defence. Yeah. I think they had the best defensive record over the Challenge Cup. And also, though, you get a lot of money from him for fines. So the end of season drinks, you can go mental because he just wears wrong kit all the time.
Yeah, do him.
And his nickname's Gary Wackett. Off Mike Bassett, England manager, which you've not watched, but those who have seen Mike Bassett, England manager, Sean Edwards is Gary Wackett. Not the Dowie Morris. How did the CBT go? We've covered that.
Cheers, our kid. Went very well. Colin Hinchliffe, what's your favourite cocktail? I had a cocktail called a fucus, which I kept calling a mucus a while ago. I was with Paul Doran Jones at the Ham Yard Hotel in London. He looks swankier than me. He sprayed his jeans on.
Yeah.
Had to get a fish slice to get them off. Vac-packed geese. And I had one called a fucus, and it was so nice. I ended up having three because I'm a bit of a lad.
It's a pretty standard stock answer, but I like a Long Island iced tea.
Okay.
Strong, that's why. And you can taste the spirits in it. I hate cocktails where you can't taste the alcohol. You think, well, what's in it?
Oh, no, I like that.
No, I want the strong one, so Long Island iced tea.
Daffod Evans, who would win, this Blues team or the one you played with, boy?
One I played in? What a stupid question.
Yeah.
Because I was in it. James Rainbird, the Wolf, wants to know, have you ever been to La Manga? Have you been to La Manga?
No. Oh, no, you have. I'm not going.
It's a charity golf tournament that Peter Scrivener organises. It's for a little bit for Help for Heroes, some for the Wasps Rugby Foundation, so money goes to disadvantaged kids to help them through rugby. It's an amazing trip. It's full of corporates. We need you there, mate.
No.
Put it this way, I've got to do the court session now.
I know. I'm not doing it. I don't play golf. I know you don't really need to, but do you know what? It's the idea. Is it 3 days?
Yeah.
It's the idea of three basically massive all days in a row with no sleep and then getting on a plane and flying home and having to operate when I get home. It's like, just doesn't appeal to me anymore. I know I'm only 38, but you keep saying I'm having a midlife crisis because I want to do my bike test. But I don't, and I've got black trainers now, like Gavin Henson, but I don't want...
And veneers.
I've had my veneers done. I haven't. But I just don't want to do that, mate.
What colour did you go from? Beige.
I went from brown to beige. Here's an interesting one. Doug Walker, listening to Matt Dawson on the BBC, you would think Sips was barely managing to get in a bottom three side, never mind running the attack for a top four side who dismantle a lot of good defences. Why do some people have it in for him several years after he was a bit of a Jack the Lad?
You know Dawes better than me.
Yeah, and I didn't hear what Dawes said, so I don't know. The Cipriani thing is an interesting one. He does divide opinion. Do you know what? I don't know. Maybe he does take more managing than some players, and maybe he says what he thinks a lot, and maybe what he thinks is kind of said publicly and disagrees with the coaches publicly. I don't know, but he is a wonderful player. So I think if there's acid in there, like there was with Kevin Peterson, where he is abusing his teammates behind their back and sort of stuff, that doesn't work. I'd rather not have a good player. But if there's not that,
I think there's two ways to look
at
it.
You've got
to have it. There's two ways to look at it. There's one way of, right, what does he do on the pitch every weekend? You just look at that, think what he can deliver and what he can give that team. Or you've got to look at what he does off the field as well and what he's like in a team environment. Because that has to be taken into account as well, because he's going to be around a team 24/7. It's not just on the weekend. But if you're judging him by what he does on a weekend, wowzers. How he gets that attack going.
Stuart Brumhill, who was the player you played with who had put on the most timber between the last game of the season and pre-season? I know mine.
Duncan Bell?
Yes. You get tested for body fat, millimetres of body fat over 7 sites, and I was like, finished the season at 38 mils. And they said, you are allowed to go up to 44 mils. Right, 44 mils is your max. I came back and I was 48 mils. So I was 4 mils over, so I was in fat club. Belly was 98 mils. He was more than double my fat. And he was in the green group when he was more than doubled. He was 48 mils at the end of the season and he came back at 98 mils. He'd more than doubled his count.
I always remember Richard Hibbard when he was young and he first got into the squad, the Welsh squad. He used to be on fat burners all the time, fat burner sessions before training. I remember we went up this, I probably talked about this, we went up this massive sand dune called Merth Mar, right? It's sort of Bridge Emway.
Yeah.
And he was on his hands and knees and he was adamant that he couldn't run anymore. So they made him crawl while the rest of us ran.
Really?
But now look at him now.
Yeah, he's done all right, hasn't he?
Oh, mate, he's done phenomenal. He's dropped a lot of weight. It's just a shame. I think a lot of people feel a little bit sorry for him that he didn't get more Welsh caps, because what he was doing at Gloucester was fantastic and it wasn't really transferring on the international scene, was he? He wasn't getting selected.
No, I certainly think he's missed out on a load of caps. Maybe it's because he came to England, but he is quality.
I have a couple more.
Nigel Ridpath, one for Flats. I've never heard you mention hookers when it comes to scrum dominance. How much of a part do they play? They play a massive part, so if you've got...
Can I just stop you there? Can I just add to that? Can you tell us the part they play on your ball and the opposition ball? Because it's different, isn't it?
Yep. So what you can have is, you if you've got two big old lumps, you can take care of a young/small/slightly weaker hooker. So, not saying we were brilliant or anything like that, but when the first few games Dave Ward played with us, the first few games that Will Tanner, a young guy who I always thought was really good, played with us, with me and Belly, you know, we were quite big and heavy and we could hold a scrum up against most teams most of the time. So they could feel quite safe and could operate, do what they wanted to do, and we would keep it up and keep it moving forward at least, or steady at least. When you get a hooker needs to be able to scrummage, but there are hookers that scrummage to different extents. On our ball, you need the props to be really, really strong and you need your hooker to be flexible because he needs to lift his foot up and hook it. And while he lifts his foot up, we get weaker, of course. So you need your props to keep it up, keep it strong, keep him tight, keep your hips next to his a bit so he's not swinging around on his own in there. So really you want to squash the second row's heads between your hips, ideally. You want to make sure your second row's got cauliflower ears. You know, and their ears hurt after a game. That's what you really want. Then you know you've squeezed them in. On the opposition ball, what you often want is to create a two-on-one. So I would pull a hooker in tight to me, try and give the tight head opposite us a small hole to get into, so he has to bash his head in between ours, which isn't pleasant, distracts him a bit. But then you really, really want me and our hooker targeting that one guy. So make it a two-on-one. So we both go for him. The challenge then is, do you leave your tight head out swimming on his own? So you need to bring the tight head with you, but you can't always have a tight head ripping across at that angle. So there is work to be done for a hooker. It's difficult. But, what you ideally want is an aggressive, strong hooker. So we can both go for the opposition tight head. And you want an absolute unit on the tight head, which is, I remember playing with Julian White and Belly a lot. Belly's underrated player, mind. So we would often, Mearsy and I, would just go at a tight head prop. And we'd say to Belly, you're on your own for a bit. And he'd say, cool, I'm all right with that. And they couldn't budge him. We're playing against Toulouse, Stade Francais, watching Belly play against the All Blacks when England did the same. Woodcock couldn't budge him. So when he was on it, you could leave Belly on his own and he'd put his anchors in and Mearsy and I could attack the tight head and try and disrupt their ball, basically.
What would be the ideal height for a hooker? Because you get small ones like Mearsy, then you get tall ones.
There isn't one. The best hookers are the best hookers. It doesn't matter what height they are.
Fine.
So Carl Heyman's one of the greatest tight heads and he's 6'4". Another great type, Bacobus Fasaki. You'll see 5'11", 5'10".
Yeah.
So it makes no odds. He's half the size of Heyman, but a more powerful scrummager. So
you're starting to get a lot of back row being converted to hookers now, aren't you?
Yeah, and that the new rules, the new
Christian laws Dacey was a back rower before he became a hooker.
The new laws help that because you can get into a nice position pretty much every time.
Yeah.
You can still get buckled, but you're not getting mullered on the hit anymore. So if I was playing against someone who wasn't that experienced, I would try and muller them on the hit, bash them on the hit to break their body shape. But now there is, I would say, no excuse when the ball comes into the scrum not to be in a good body position. So that helps people who want to convert.
When I played sevens and I'd prop, because the benefit of me playing sevens and propping was that you had an in-and-out gas man that was also in the pack. But I would just pump my legs like I was pushing a sled.
Not going anywhere, just do 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Just smashing it, and then you'd hear the call from scrum half, ball's out, break.
Basically jogging on the spot you were.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'd use my neck to like try and get underneath their pec and then lift them up and give them their wings.
Yeah. That's the astronaut position.
There we are. Right.
We've only got a couple of pods left, haven't we?
Yeah.
Semis and final.
Yeah,
and then
but please follow Twitter. We don't want you to miss out on these tickets.
It's going to be dope.
It's going to be sold out.
It's going to be sick.
We want you to come to Reading, the James Haskell live pod. It's the last live pod we're doing with Fuller's, with Guinness.
Also, give us a load of stuff to ask him.
Yeah.
We'll get into him.
What do you want to know?
Yeah.
Have a good week.